Welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Blair Oaks Falcons. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Greg Jackson of the News Tribune, and before Greg and I start to discuss things this week, let's listen to a little bit of Greg's conversation with Blair Oaks head coach, Ted LePage.
Coach, let's take a quick look back at last week's game, 38-30 loss to Lutheran North. What were some things that you noticed when you went back and looked at that on film?
Lutheran North played really solid football. They didn't make any mistakes. They're a very talented football team. They're a very big football team, and they didn't make any mistakes. We made some mistakes that hurt us, and those mistakes in the game, we didn't make a lot. We played very well. When I went back and watched film, we played very hard, and we played very aggressive, and we did some really, really good things. We just made too many little mistakes, and I told them those are fixable things. From coaching all the way down to playing, we can fix everything that we saw on film. It was just that Lutheran North did not make any mistakes, and that was the big difference in the ballgame.
I remember after the game you were drawing comparisons to that game to the 2020 loss in the regular season to Valley Catholic. I know when people look at that, there's a lot of differences between those two games. What were the things that you noticed that were similar?
Well, the big issue is you want the players to know that it's been done before. You know, they're not in uncharted territory because a lot of these players are coming off a 14-0 season. Oh, you lost a football game. Well, we played a really good football team. Let's not lose focus on what we're at. The object isn't to win state title today. The object is to win the state title in December. So with that being perspective, when we go back to 2020, all the players said the loss that year put the emphasis back on, hey, we're going for something bigger and better. And that's what I wanted to portray to our players, because there was players on that team that were, our seniors were freshmen. Mm-hmm. So they can recall that, hey, they had an about face when that happened, just saying we're going to get a better focus, we're going to get a better evaluation of ourselves, and we're going to move forward and we're going to win whatever it takes, we're going to do it. And they all reflected on it, and all of them texted me over the weekend, or we spoke on Saturday, or we spoke again Monday morning, and the focus is there. There wasn't too much, like you said. The difference in the games, a lot of difference. I mean, you're down at St. Genevieve Valley, that was error-prone all the way around. That was both sides. But, you know, you look back, Dylan did not have a good night when we were St. Francis Borgia, or not St. Francis, down at St. Genevieve Valley. So that was that. You know, we said, hey, there's things happen in high school football. You got to be able to rebound and recover, and that's what I was hoping to get us across as a message.
And now the transitions in the conference play, you got School of the Osage this weekend. What are some of the things that you've seen about them for the first 2 weeks?
Well, Coach Jolly does such a good job with his team. He really puts them together a solid game plan. They're physical. They're very, very fundamental. If you ever watch them, they run their wing tee. They run it with precision and really exactly the way it's supposed to be ran. So we've seen it out of Maryville. We've seen it a little different variation out of Luther North. We'll get back to more traditional wing tee, but they are able to churn yards with their run game. Last year, they really had an effective run game and used it against us, and then they play action after that. So they've done a good job that way. Defensively, they stayed in their 30 front, and they showed a 40 front against Jefferson City, but I think that was because of the offense. But they're very good at their skill positions. They're good, sure tacklers, and they're ball hawks. They've got a corner that intercepts pass against us last year. He had an interception against Moberly. He had a tackle for loss with a strip and recovered a fumble. So very, very attack style defense.
And the one thing that always jumps at me is how that team really did an about face. I mean, they had a rough first three games last season and go on and win seven in a row. And yes, through the first three games, they may not have looked like the second best team in the Tri-County Conference, but they definitely were by season's end.
We knew they were going into that game last year, and that's where we're at right now, is we can't take anything for granted. Their record does not signify an exact science of where they're at. That's just like what I told our players, we're 1-1. People can say, well, you lost a game. Well, that isn't really who we are. You know, you play teams that are going to be competitive with you. You have to watch the full sample size, and what Coach Jolly and the School of the Osage are doing is really, really good, and I think they're going to get it turned around. Let's just not let them turn around this week.
All right, that was Blair Oaks head coach Ted LePage. And Greg, I'll just start it off by saying, sounds like you saw yourself a pretty good game last week.
It was a good game. I'll tell you what, and I want to go back because I kind of look like a fool with the prediction I made was what? I think I said Blair Oaks was going to win 35-14. And I do want to explain my reasoning because I didn't last week. And the reason is in the first three meetings, Blair Oaks won each one of those games against Lutheran North by at least four touchdowns.
Okay.
And the reason for that was because, you know, Lutheran North would make two, three, maybe even four mistakes in those games. And Blair Oaks capitalized, it seemed like, on every single one of those mistakes. Lutheran North, to their credit, did not make any mistakes Friday night. Mm-hmm. If you could point out anything, their biggest mistake was that they committed 12 penalties. And maybe, I think one of them extended, came on fourth down and extended a Blair Oaks drive in the fourth quarter. But if that's the biggest mistake they make in a game this year, they're not going to lose a game. And that is a much improved Lutheran North team from the team we saw last year. And on top of that, a lot of skill players on offense are only sophomores and juniors, so they're coming back.
Okay.
And defensively, you know, Blair Oaks still almost got 400 yards, but you know what? They had a hard time running the ball because, as we talked about last week, those 350-plus-pound defensive tackles did their job and really clogged up the middle last week and forced Blair Oaks to try something different.
You know, I will say that it's always an unaccustomed thing when Blair Oaks loses a game. It's also weird when they lose at home. They don't do that very often. But I will say, you know, I think to their credit, it seemed like, you know, that the kind of the early stage of that game, it looked like, okay, you know, they were kind of playing from behind, and it looked like, you know, it could have gotten out of control in a hurry. To their credit, they never panicked. They never got to the point where they were just like, you know, a one-score game turned into a 2-3-4-score game when it really would have been easy to get rattled. So I think if you're looking for, you know, good things to come out of that game, you know, it's like you're pleased from the standpoint of they fought, they made it a game late into the fourth quarter, and it was kind of like, okay, the game is there for the taking, which is what you want out of every game you play.
They were constantly playing catch-up. They started the game exactly the way they wanted to. The defense got a three and out and a punt, but the problem was Blair Oaks fumbled the ball on its second play from scrimmage. That led to inside the 10, so the next play Lutheran North scores, and just like that, Lutheran North never trails the rest of the game. I think the other thing that probably didn't help Blair Oaks' cause was they had three first and goal drives in the first half. One was first and goal at the 10, another was first and goal at the 3, and another was first and goal at the 4. And never got any closer.
Okay.
And settled for three field goal attempts and didn't convert on any of those. And I know some people will say, well, you know what, it was an 8-point loss, there's 9 points. The field goals is not why they lost the game. When you get first and goal from the 3 and first and goal from the 4, don't get me wrong, Lutheran North is a very good team. But when you get that close to goal, and you've got to score a touchdown.
Right.
And let's just take the first to goal from the 4 and the 3 alone. You score touchdowns on those two possessions, you win the game.
Sure.
So I do think that's one of those things where you can go back and look and say, you know what, we made mistakes, and we still almost beat a team that is now the unanimous number one team in Class 4 in Lutheran North. So that's one of the nice things is they can look and say, we made a lot of mistakes and still only lost by one possession.
Exactly. And if you're going to lose a game like this, you know what, lose it in week two. Because you know what, this is the kind of game that can teach you a lot of things about yourself.
And after the game, you know, Coach LePage was drawing parallels to the 2020 loss to Valley Catholic, which was it was a different week, obviously. That was a week five, maybe a week six game, if I remember, a place for sales on the schedule. But they lost that game, and again, similar thing. He's like, look at how poorly we played in certain scenarios, and we still only lost that game by a touchdown, and they go on and win.
Sure.
So, like we were talking about earlier before we started this, it's Blair Oaks. For so many years, they went 9-0 in the regular season. So when you lose that first game, your season's done.
Right.
It's week two. You've suffered your first loss. It's not the end of the world. It doesn't affect you in conference play.
Right.
It might affect your district seeding, but as good as Blair Oaks is, they can win that district. It does not derail you from the goals this year, which is to win conference, win district, and win state.
And the first goal comes this week. The first step in that first goal comes this week. Tonight's game, 7 o'clock at Osage, is a key step towards winning that conference title that you want to do, that they want to do every year. And I don't think it's maybe a reach to say that this might be the hardest game for them this year in the Tri-County.
You know, I was going to say, I remember when we watching that Osage game last year, and Blair Oaks just handled them rather easily. Osage was 0-3 at that point, and I remember thinking, man, that's a rough first third of a season. You got Jefferson City, then Moberly, then Blair Oaks. That's just so brutal. I would have never guessed Osage would then turn on a dime and win 7 games in a row after that and play for a district title, losing to the state runner-up in that district title game. That, you know, Blair Oaks won a state title, and with that, you know, Ted LePage won Conference Coach of the Year. I really kind of almost thought Shannon Jolly was going to get Conference Coach of the Year, because in football, you have, you play once a week. It is so hard to have an in-season turnaround, what the Indians did, where you lose 3 and then win 7. I mean, everything's going to be cyclical or wavelength-like. You're not going to see too many teams turn around on a dime and go from struggling to having that kind of success and being the second-best team in the conference. So, I was going to say, my goal lines preview is, you know what, it's almost shaping up. Osage is probably hoping that it's going to shape up a lot like that this year, because they're off to an 0-2 start. The only difference is they wanted to start a week earlier and turn it around when they play Blair Oaks.
Exactly. Yeah, you mentioned that 0-2 start. So, you know, first week was no great shakes. They lost 40-3 at Jeff City. Last week was a little bit different, closer game, but you lose, you know, 21-14 to Moberly. So you go, okay, so maybe that's a sign of them getting some things figured out. And maybe, you know, maybe Moberly's not the caliber of Jeff City. We don't know. You know, that'll bear itself out as the rest of the season takes place. But it does seem like they probably at least took some strides last week to kind of maybe reverse some trends that maybe started.
If I remember right, I believe Moberly beat Sedalia Smith Cotton 35-7 or 28-7, one of those two in week one. And again, they did a great job against Moberly. I mean, when you hold the Moberly team to 3 touchdowns, you got to feel good. I think the frustrating part for Osage is that they didn't score in the second half. Their last series, they got down, I believe, to the Moberly 17 and turned it over on downs with less than 2 minutes to go. Really kind of, you know, what, that was the other thing Coach LePage was drawing parallels to. He's like, you know what, the way they lost last week felt like the way Blair Oaks did, because Blair Oaks was driving with about a minute and a half to go and got a turnover on downs near midfield. So he's like, honestly, you could talk. There's another parallel you could draw to the way Blair Oaks lost and the way Osage lost. You know what? They've got some of the same players back from last year. They did graduate some of the skill players, but you know, credit to Coach Jolly and Osage. They're one of those things with the wing tee offense. As long as the players know how to execute, it's so easy to plug in, you know, that backup into that starting role the following season.
I was going to say, you kind of took the words right out of my mouth from that standpoint of, you know, we know in terms of Blair Oaks who's back, who's not. We kind of know the cast of characters on this side of the ledger coming into this game. But I guess the important thing to know about, okay, what does Osage bring back from that team last year that got hot, and kind of what's left over? And I guess, you know, maybe let's just start with the offense and say, how much of the production comes back from that team that did seem like they figured a lot of things out last year?
You know, I think they feel pretty good with their running back in Aiden Williams. You know, he rushed for 104 yards last week. No touchdowns, but still, you know what, 100-yard-plus rushing. Usually, if you look at Osage last year, they'd have 2 or 3 guys rush for 100 yards in the game when they in a lot of those wins. They'd win a lot of shootouts during the regular season after that loss to Blair Oaks. Don't know. I mean, they've got, you know, Jason Colonius is another running back. That's the thing. This Osage team, I think we just haven't seen much offensive production. And the hard part is that because we don't know if it's because they just graduated some of that skill or if it's because you played a Jeff City and a Moberly to start the season. And if this week's game plays out a lot like last year's, I don't know if we're going to find out a whole lot about Osage's offense this weekend. It may take until week 4 until we get a better idea of how they look offensively.
So if they, you know, may struggle or they may not be in mid-season forms in terms of the offense, then obviously they're going to have to rely on defense maybe to win this one. So what does Osage bring to that side of the ball that maybe will, can they keep this one close if they need to keep it close using their defense?
I really think one of the reasons why they kept last week's game so close was because they were able to force turnovers against Moberly. Now, were they able to score points on them off those turnovers every time? No. But, I mean, if you could find a way, you know, Blair Oaks turned the ball over three times against Maryville. They only turned it over once against Lutheran North. But the reason Blair Oaks did so well against Maryville was because Maryville got no points off those turnovers. So if you're Osage, it wouldn't surprise me if Osage forces a couple of turnovers against Blair Oaks. If Osage wants to have a shot in this game, though, they have to score a touchdown off every single turnover they force and then hope for some other good things to happen for them defensively.
Sure. It's not quite the level of maybe a Blair Oaks home field advantage, but I do feel like that Osage always seems to play pretty well at home. All the games that I ever had to cover there, it always seemed like the fans show out, they show up, it's pretty, you know, it's pretty loud, it's pretty hard fought. It seems like there's always a good energy to that game. So I got a funny feeling that this game tonight will also be one of those where it just feels like there'll be plenty of enthusiasm going through the crowd tonight.
Yeah, and I mean, again, this will be more curious for me to see how Tyler Bax bounces back from this one because, you know, didn't have the best game passing last week against Lutheran North. That being said, he was forced to throw the ball a lot in the second half. Okay. And again, it's only his second start. And I think maybe Osage has kind of seen the tape and they're like, hey, we've got to find a way to get to him. We've got to find a way to apply pressure. The other thing that I'll be curious to see, is this going to be the game where Blair Oaks breaks through in the run game outside of the quarterback position? You know, we saw some of their players, you know, you've got the Hayden Lackmans, Eli Luckett's, we've seen them get their 50 or 60 yards. Is this a game one of them has a 100-yard rush performance, or is this a game where we see Tyler Bax look more like the opener where he gets 150, 200 yards rushing, more like those Dylan Hare type numbers? So to me, I'll be kind of curious to see what Osage is going to do. I mean, really, they're a three-man defensive front, but they a lot of times they send five guys. So be curious to see if they do that and force Blair Oaks to throw the ball, or if they dare Blair Oaks to try to run the ball against that defense. The other thing is we go back to mentioning how this is the third straight week that Blair Oaks will face a wing T offense. We saw Maryville pass the ball more often than they would in past years. We saw Lutheran North throw the ball about 20 times out of the wing tee.
Okay.
This is a set, like more traditional wing tee, Coach LePage said, with Osage. But we have seen them throw the ball. For example, I mean, they've only scored two touchdowns this year, but both were passing touchdowns last week against Moberly. So, the thing I've come to know over Blair Oaks facing wing tee offenses in the past is teams are going to throw the ball a lot more often than they normally would, and that's just a credit to Blair Oaks' run defense. So can Blair Oaks step up and stop the run right out the gate, force them to throw the ball, and let's see if we can see the Blair Oaks pass defense step up tonight.
All right, I guess that gets us to the prediction point. I'll just ask you, does Blair Oaks bounce back from its loss and get a win tonight?
They do. I think they win this one, and I'm going to say Blair Oaks wins 56-14.
All right, that should do it for this week. For Greg Jackson, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Greg Jackson on Twitter at ActionJackson05. That's Action JAXON05. Thanks for listening.